This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this Monday afternoon. Welcome back to the second hour. First hour, I got my my new meal plan for my new journey. No, not my new journey. My continuing journey. There, that's what I should
say. It's going to take a little bit more attention on your part to get everything. It looks fairly fastidious, but it seems like it's a good plan to me. I'm not the expert, but you know exactly what you're eating. You know how many calories are going in, which I think that maybe you either lost track of or just never really addressed.
It is true. Yeah. It is true. I wasn't really following exactly, but mm-hmm. Anyway, you're right. I'm excited.
June, what do you think taking a look at that? Because you're in the same program. You're a few weeks behind Carol on this, but you'll eventually get to where she's at.
I'm on my eighth week now.
Right.
It's going to be a tough one, but like anything, you get used to eating certain things, and you just take it from there.
So what would you do, say, like on a Mother's Day where, you know, you've got your family around you and you're cooking a nice meal for everybody? Is that a day where you could step aside or just eat smaller portions of what you normally would?
Well, you know, yesterday we went to the back room and I had salmon and rice, which, you know, right on here it says 4 ounces of fish or chicken and rice. Although I'm not telling you the whole thing.
What went along with that?
Talk to me about the mudslide.
No.
No.
The martini.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
But it's white fish or chicken. Uh-huh. But, you know, in that case, I would have my salmon.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would.
You're a mom. And you worked hard to be a mom. And to reward yourself with the a martini, what pairs well, by the way, with salmon? I'm just curious.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Stop it.
But okay. Why wouldn't you be able to have salmon
instead of white fish? Yeah. I'm not sure. We'll have to ask Rocco that. I'm not sure.
I guess so.
Salmon's got all those better oils and everything in there for one thing. So I think salmon is the better choice.
Well, it says white fish,
right?
Or chicken. It doesn't.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's pretty much saying no salmon.
Isn't salmon fattier, maybe?
It is. Got the good omegas. Got
the good fats in there.
But
it's good, good though, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. But anyway.
Oh, well.
Anyway, so welcome, June.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Did you have a nice Mother's Day?
I did.
I did, too. I love your new necklace.
Yes.
Beautiful butterfly.
Butterfly from Tyler. Yes, yeah. It's gorgeous. Thank
That's
you.
That's good. Yeah.
Nope, and you? How was yours?
Great. All the kids were down, and Shannon's mom was with us.
Nice.
And the guys grilled and cooked and cleaned. And
it's what guys do.
That's right. It was awesome. Yep. And I had all kinds of stuff out, and I didn't touch it. I had some shrimp, and then I had a salad with some grilled chicken for supper, and was good.
No martinis?
Oh, yeah. I had a couple. Not martinis, but I had a couple Absolut Citron with lime in it. So.
All right. Well, I'm glad you came clean, June.
I did. I'm honest.
Yeah. We like that. As was Carol.
Mm-hmm. You got to be. So you fall, you get back up, right?
That's right.
Yep.
That is right.
So
Meatless Mondays, what do you have for us today? I need a recipe for tonight.
I don't think you'll be able to do this one. It's skinny baked macaroni with broccoli.
Oh.
But
I didn't hear the word cheese in there.
No, well, it says skinny baked broccoli macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's all lower fat stuff. So but it's
It's not on your little six meal a day list.
It's definitely not on my list.
Is this what you started today?
He just handed that to me. So I really could start tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you could too. Because you do like macaroni and cheese. And it isn't like Guy Fieri's mac and cheese.
Oh, Guy Fieri's mac and cheese is so deadly. It's not
even funny. She made it once.
Oof.
I think only once, right?
Only once, because it's made with bacon fat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Bacon fat.
Got my interest now.
Yeah, it's right in that recipe book right in front
of
you.
Well, I actually did make mac and cheese over the weekend, and I also used a little bit of bacon fat. Not much, but just to give it a little extra.
I think
extra.
Flavor. If I remember correctly, this one was a quarter cup
Yeah.
of bacon Quarter
fat.
Cup? Oh, no.
Yeah, and it had heavy everything in it.
Heavy cream.
Yeah. You could feel your arteries hardening just talking about it.
Get CMC on the phone. I think I need a stent put in just listening to it. All right, so we're not going there today, though,
no,
right?
No, we're not. This one's much healthier for you. The ingredients is 12 ounces of a high-fiber elbows macaroni, like ronzini, and 1.5 tablespoons of butter, 1/4 cup of minced onions, 1/4 cup of flour, 2 cups of skim milk, 1 cup of chicken broth or vegetable broth, 8 ounces of reduced fat sharp cheddar cheese, like Cabot has the 50%, salt and pepper to taste, 12 ounces of fresh broccoli flowerettes, 2 tablespoons of grated Parmesan, 1/4 cup of seasoned breadcrumbs, and cooking spray. And you take, you cook your pasta and your broccoli in the same water, in boiling salted water. And you take it out, you know, when it's pretty much just al dente.
About 10 minutes usually, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't even think it would be that much, actually. Because you want it still nice and firm.
Right. Plus,
because
it's
going
to bake,
right,
in
the oven. Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And while that's cooking, you want it in a skillet, melt your butter, cook your onions over low heat for about 2 minutes. Add your flour to make a nice roux and cook it until it's golden. And add the milk and the chicken broth and whisk it, raising the temp to medium until it comes to a boil. Cook for 5 minutes until the sauce is nice and thick and smooth. Season it with salt and pepper. Once the sauce is thick, remove the heat, add the cheese, and mix until the cheese is melted. Adjust the salt and pepper to taste. Add cooked macaroni and broccoli and mix well. Pour into a greased baking sheet.
Baking sheet?
Thank you. Baking pan.
Yeah. You can make like brownies out of it or something.
Top with the grated cheese and the breadcrumbs. Spray a little more of the spray on top. Bake 15 to 20 minutes, then broil for a few minutes till it gets all nice and brown and bubbly.
Yum.
It does sound kind of good, but.
You're gonna work a little harder getting that roux together, though, since you're using skim milk?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
No.
Because I'll typically use, like, whole milk. I won't do the cream, but it seems like.
And you know what I use a lot of times when he says that? Is the non-fat low-fat creamer.
Fat-free creamer.
Does that work out?
Yeah, the half and half. Hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. I use it in chowders and everything.
I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it sounded pretty good for this one. You know, there was one thing I wanted to share. Oh, what do you call?
God. Here comes the weekly reader joke, right?
What do you call a fake noodle? Look at her look at me.
Yeah, fake noodle.
An impasta.
Oh! Ba-boom!
Bada-bing, bada-boom!
Yeah.
An impasta. Oh, sorry. Lord. I had to stick that one in.
Take the next Monday off, Carol. Just saying.
No.
Nice,
Mike.
Just kidding.
I can take it off, though. No.
No. So, all right. So, that's your. So, what else you got here?
What else do I have? Well, what do you call a candy that was stolen? Come on, Mike.
What candy was stolen?
I don't take the Weekly Reader anymore. I have to tell you, I gave up my subscription to that.
It's called a hot chocolate.
Oh, okay. That works.
That's all I got.
Sold by an impasta.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I have, though, for those silly things. But, you know, this isn't really meatless, but I did this all on my own, and I was so proud of myself. It was so good. Market Basket had turkey tenderloins on sale last week, so I bought them. And I got Celeste Oliva extra virgin olive oil, and I mixed it. She had a new honey ginger white balsamic vinegar.
Ooh.
I took that and I mixed it with this herb de Provence,
mm-hmm.
And it's a gourmet spice. It has basil, rosemary, thyme, parsley, margarine, lavender, tarragon, and fennel seed in it.
And margarine?
Yeah.
Marjoram?
M-A-R-J-O-R-A-M. Oh, marjoram.
Yeah.
I'm right. Like, margarine?
Yeah. Sorry.
What member of the spice family is that one?
And I just whisked that all together, and then I marinated it. Oh, it was so good. And then I made kebabs out of it, vegetables, and it was awesome.
Sounds very good.
It was. I had to share that one.
Turkey
that
tenderloins was good. Are good. I do like turkey tenderloins.
I know. And that was the first time I had ever tried one.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I was surprised.
How long did you marinate it, June?
I made the marinade in the morning, and we ate it at night. So probably,
6 or 7 hours.
Something like that.
Yeah, if I go to a butcher shop and buy turkey kebabs, they're so tender, which I assume yours was.
Oh, it melted in your mouth.
Yeah.
It did. It melted in the mouth.
It was sitting
so
in those
good.
In those vats of deliciousness, as yours was.
Well, that was all healthy, too.
Yeah.
Except
for the margarine. I can figure that out. Yeah.
Well, when she's mentioning all those spices, and then she says margarine, she continues on, and I'm like, margarine? Yeah.
I was just seeing if you were paying attention.
I was trying to picture margarine in the spice jar
or your spray bottle. Oh, boy.
So have you been doing your cleaning out the cabinet and seeing what you, you make?
You know,
from
that's
it?
Funny you said that. I was just looking at it this morning and I said, I know what I'm making tonight. So I have some pasta that I'm going to use. And I use that one from Celeste.
Mm-hmm. So Salva.
Yeah. Her pastas are amazing. They really are. But I'm just going to take that and some fire roasted tomatoes. And
you and your fire roasted tomatoes.
I am so addicted to them.
Do you make your own fire roasted tomatoes?
I'm too lazy for that.
Okay.
But we have 6 tomato plants we just put in. So by the end of summer, I may be doing my own fire roasted tomatoes.
Yeah.
But and then I'm going to take zucchini and summer squash and make like a, what do they call it?
Ratatouille.
Thank you. Sure. Ratatouille.
Can you spell ratatouille,
Carol? What is a ratatouille?
Oh, it's onions, peppers, zucchini, summer squash, and tomatoes. That's ratatouille.
In a tomato sauce, right?
You use the tomato, chopped tomatoes in the can, and you just saute your onions and your peppers. And then you put your zucchini and summer squash in, let that all cook down, and maybe a little bit of wine, and then add your tomatoes and let it simmer.
Do you throw a little spice in there? Because I know it's a traditional kind of a Cajun concoction. Well, I mean, I think it's popular in the Deep South.
You know, when I'm cooking like that, I open my spice drawer, which is about this wide. It's a good big one. And I just start picking out things. I always use all onion powder and garlic powder. Right. But then I have the blends, like the Herb de Provence. And I have the ones that are all mixed already. And I'll just start throwing that stuff in there. So, and I do like Cajun, so I'll throw a little bit of
Cajun is what makes it makes it happen in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, ratatouille is good. Very healthy for you. There's not
very,
a bad thing
good.
In that.
Nope. Not at all.
All right, so want to try spelling ratatouille, Carol?
Because
you were a good speller.
I was. R-A-T-A-T-O-U-I-L-L-E.
Yes!
Very good.
Oh, thank you, Google. No, just kidding.
I wasn't looking at my Google.
I know. Just busted you. Very good.
What is that?
Oh.
I think June's getting a phone
June's
call.
June's ringing.
June. You know, I thought Bob was doing something. No. I'm like, wait
it's
a minute.
June's, I'm like, wow, my June's segment's phone. Up already.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Out the door she goes. Boy.
So what else did you do this weekend?
Saturday we planted and went around, got all our flowers and all that. Did you get yours?
I had a migraine on Saturday.
Oh, that's not good.
It was very bad.
So, but Deverett has awesome selection.
Do they?
Awesome, awesome.
Do they have portulacas, did you notice?
Yes.
They do?
Up in the back. Did you know there's like 8 of those greenhouses up in the back of the hill?
No.
Yeah. Next time you go up in the hill. and you'll see
up
like
up at the hill.
Up at the hill, yeah, up at the hill there.
Really?
Yeah, they have like 8.
Is that new?
No, they might have added a couple more, but they were up there. They've always been up there. I think what they do a lot of time is take from there and bring them down.
Yeah, because I don't think you ever could go up there. Because I never.
Yeah, you can. We did. The guy was helping us. He was great. But, yeah, between there and Fizz Farm in Bedford.
Devereaux's the one in Goffstown.
Correct.
On 114.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. And the other one's on, what is that?
I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the street.
Meeting house, maybe. Yeah.
Could be. Out in Bedford past the country club. It's a nice gardening place there. They have awesome vegetables and all that. So, yep, my garden's all planted.
Good.
That was Saturday. And then Sunday, they all came over. We went to church, and it was good.
Very nice.
Yep.
All right.
Low-keyed. Gotta love it.
Anything else to add to Meatless Mondays?
No, I don't. Not today.
It was semi-Meatless Mondays, just pointing out
right.
Your honor.
Right. I just had to brag a little about my turkey tenderloin, but...
Well, it's healthy Mondays, so
right,
you know,
exactly
healthy slash meatless
Mondays. We can go with
Mondays.
That.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
And salads. You just gotta make all kinds of different salads. That's all you gotta do.
I had Cape Cod potato chips for lunch with my salad.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I needed the texture. I hear crickets. We probably should take a break.
I think so. I think so. All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. You're listening to the Pulse 107.7 and. We're going to say bye to June, and coming on next is Susan Osborne of Bee Image Consulting, and we're going to talk dining etiquette today.
I'm screwed.
Dining etiquette. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought is on The Pulse, WTPL 107.7. Also online and, of course, Facebook. You'll find us there. Our sponsors include Express Jewelry on South Main and Concord, ExpressJewelryNH.com, and Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street, Manchester. Authentic Mexican at incredible prices. And we had a lot of Mexican discussion last week with Cinco de Mayo and our live Hippo de Mayo broadcast out on Elm Street. It was a lot of fun.
Very fun. We had a great time.
We had a wonderful time.
I loved interviewing all the people. And
I was impressed. You did really good. You just jumped right out there and basically horse tackled people till they talked to you. I thought it was really, it's how you got to do it in today's world.
Yeah. Well, I took your cue. I followed you.
Is that it? Okay.
And you know, Jody actually emailed me this morning asking or saying that he
Jody
heard.
Reese, for
Jody
those
Reese,
don't know, publisher
yeah,
of the.
Publisher of Hippo.
Right.
And well, he wanted to know the count of tacos that both of the restaurants did. And, mm-hmm. and then he said that he had heard through the grapevine that we interviewed someone that flew up just for the event. And I said, yes. So it's kind of cool.
Sure.
I was inquiring about that.
You see, that's why the Hippo needs to spend money on Food for Thought here, giving them all that love.
Yeah, really, right?
Jody, open up that massive wallet of yours and write a check. Well, anyway, that's a whole different discussion. We'll handle that on the next meeting.
There we go. And let's welcome on Susan Osborne, one of our regular segments here from Bee Image Consulting. You can check them out on the web at beeimageconsulting.com.
That's the letter B, correct? Or is it B-E?
B-E.
The word B.
That's why I can never find you.
Yeah, it's the word B.
I was doing B, and I was getting like these honeycombs and stuff. Okay, now I get it. All right.
So, welcome on. I came with a whole bunch of tips on dining etiquette. So we can do this one or two ways. I can just start from the beginning and work my way right through from entering into a restaurant, or you guys can blast me with questions.
Well, I think you should get going, and then we can jump in where we might have a question or so. And I love how you titled the segment. Do you remember what you said? What it's called?
No.
You are how you eat.
Oh, that's right.
That's brilliant. Brilliant, I say. Did you steal it, or was it yours?
No, it was mine, actually.
I would definitely copyright that as soon as you get off the air.
Okay, I will. you are how you eat, right? Especially when you're trying to make good impressions, mm-hmm. particularly in a business meal. So most of my tips are really surrounding that. Obviously, it's great for all, for everyone to have good etiquette while eating. But there's a little bit more rules that kind of come into play when you're having a business meal. So I just thought it would be interesting to walk through some things. The very first thing is when you're walking into a restaurant, I know I have had to do some training with some clients in terms of making sure that the male lets the woman go first when the waitress or waiter is bringing them to their table. Okay, so that's sort of step number one. Step number two would be to always, as soon as you sit down, you do want to place your napkin on your lap fairly right away. You want to make sure you do that before the food comes. Okay?
That makes sense. And okay. I do forget that once in a while because I get so excited about ordering a cocktail. I'm thinking, well, if I spill it on myself, this dainty little napkin isn't going to help me out much. But you're right. You just need to be proper.
Exactly. Things like resting your elbows on the table are usually not the proper thing to do. Not until actually the dinner is over and the plate has been removed away is sort of it okay to kind of then put your elbows on the table. But sort of like when we all grew up, keep your elbows off the table. Like Mom said, that's pretty much what you want to do. So either your hands in your lap or your wrists or forearm, you know, at the edge of the table.
Kind of like what you're doing right now.
Right. Exactly. Okay. How everyone can see.
Do these rules apply across the board from, say, the Chop House, Red Arrow Diner, and, you know, all the other restaurants that are all very different, you know?
You know, the rules apply when you're trying to make a good impression on someone.
Okay.
So it really doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter where you're at?
The rules definitely apply when you're at a fine dining establishment. But, it depends on the company that you're keeping, right? So things like sitting up straight, not slouching, not slumping, definitely not tipping back in your chair. That seems really obvious, I know. And then when you're not at, say you're not at a you're at someone's house, right? Because there's sort of a lot of rules that follow around kind of following the host when you're at someone's house. When you're at someone's house and it's fine dining there, then you want to make sure that the host, you're not starting in on anything without the host. So you want to make sure that she or he has already been seated and has picked up their utensils ready to eat, and then sort of that's your cue to do the same.
So it's the host that determines
that? It's the host that determines
but
that.
But often the host is kind of doing the serving, and they may be the last ones to sit down. So I guess...
All the more reason it's more appropriate to wait for them.
Right.
So unless the host would sometimes say, like, because I know when I'm, you know, serving a dinner party and I have friends over, I'll say, you know, please start everybody.
Yes.
You know, in that.
Right.
In
you're
that.
Giving them permission.
Is that okay to
do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you're at a restaurant, you want to make sure that everyone has been served their meal before you start digging into your meal. So all the plates are at the table and then you can begin eating.
You know what I'm finding really interesting, and I didn't know this, is your pictures here of in resting position mm-hmm. of your fork and knife. I never realized that.
Yeah, that is, you know, when I'm doing the training around this, I always talk about the sort of finished position first. So when, let's talk about you. Actually, let me back up for a second.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
I'm probably
right.
jumping ahead.
No, I just want to back up about using your utensils in general. When you pick up your utensils off the table to use them for the very first time, they shall never go back onto the table.
Oh.
So they're always going to be on your plate. So the knife that you're using, it shouldn't go back onto the table or tablecloth. And even the handle of the knife shouldn't lean onto the table. So the knife itself the proper way is for it to run sort of parallel to the top of the plate, resting there when you're not using it. Any like serving, you know, you're having coffee and you're using the spoon, To stir your coffee with, the spoon goes on, you know, the serving plate that's underneath the saucer. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So the finished position, so there's the American style and the continental style. I'm just going to talk about the American style to sort of like keep things easy here. But the finished position of the American style is to have the fork and the knife parallel together, running sort of on a diagonal on the plate. So Carol here is looking at a picture that I've showed her, and it's sort of the utensils are running at like 10:20 if it was a clock, if the plate was
10:20.
Right? And the tines of the fork are face up. In a continental style, the tines of the fork are face down. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So while you're eating, that sort of resting position, again, the knife is running somewhat parallel to the top of the plate, sitting, resting on the plate. And then the fork is sort of at that 10:20 position.
Now, is that a sign also for the wait staff?
It does help the wait staff.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder.
For sure. Yeah. So some things I have witnessed other people do is drop a utensil. And I have a question for you guys. If you drop your utensil, do you think that you should pick it up or leave it there?
Pick it up.
Probably. Well, I think just based on that question, you probably are supposed to leave it there.
Yeah, good guess, right? Yeah, one with great manners might think I'm going to pick it up. Yeah. I was the one that dropped it.
Out of consideration to the wait staff.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in fact, you leave it there. You leave it there because if you pick it up, what are you going to do with it?
Put it in your purse?
Right.
Oh, I like the silver. Oh, I think, I just dropped a spoon. Oh, gee.
Yeah, it's that you don't really want to put it on the table that you're, you know, so.
Right, cross-contamination.
Just leave it there. Yeah.
Okay.
Just leave it there.
Makes sense. And should you at that point or at the next convenient time, the server comes by, mention that you dropped?
Yes.
As opposed to, hey, Bruno, over here, right. I dropped my friggin' fork. Okay. Okay.
Exactly. A lot of the work that I do when I'm, you know, sort of training people on this really has a lot to do with what kind of food should I order when I'm at a business meal? It's a food that's not complicated, like say oysters on a half shell or spaghetti. Or sometimes even French fries.
All right. Do you mean complicated in the sense to make or to eat?
Complicated to eat.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're at a restaurant.
Nothing hard about making French fries.
Right.
Okay.
No, complicated to eat in terms of, is it proper, again, if you're a business meal, you're trying to leave a good impression, is it really proper for me to use my fingers to eat the French fries? And again, it does make a difference on where you're eating for sure, right? But when in doubt, use your knife and your fork. Use your utensils for everything.
You know, do you really get people that you have to train for dining etiquette?
Oh, yes, I
really?
Do.
Yeah, just look around a restaurant anytime. Even a fine dining restaurant, there are a lot of people that aren't holding their utensils correctly, which I don't know if you're going to address that, but there's definitely a way to hold your utensils also in a somewhat of a refined way. I would say a majority of the population that I see doesn't really hold them correctly.
Right. They sort of have that death grip on their fork, right?
Right. Yeah.
They're, you know, of course, I'm making the motion right now. No one can see me. But right. Yeah, when, you know, the American style is to, you're eating with you're holding the fork in your right hand, and that's how you're eating. And when you're cutting your meat, the fork moves to the left hand, the knife right, and then the fork turns continental side. So the tines of the fork are face down, and you're holding sort of the handle on the back of the fork. The knife, as you're cutting, is on the back side of the tines. Right. So the knife isn't in front of the fork. It's behind it.
And your forefingers are kind of guiding, right? Aren't they on top of both of the utensils at this point?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you don't have you're not using your fist around the.
Right. But I'd say so many people use their fist when they're cutting when they're using their knife.
Yeah, or they'll cut their meat in with their knife in front of the fork instead of behind
it. And it's proper to cut just one piece of meat at a time,
can you
do a couple of them?
Unless you're like 4 or 5 years old, you should cut one.
So just one at a time.
At a time, put the knife down on the plate, move the fork from the left hand to the right hand, and then eat it. Mm-hmm. Yes. So what happens when, you know, that point where you put a whole bunch of food in your mouth and somebody asks you a question? What do you do?
Well, you kind of say, excuse me, I just
You hold up that, you hold up your index finger like, wait a minute.
Hold on. And,
And try not to get somebody to give you the Heimlich maneuver because they think you're joking. You just got a mouthful of food.
That's right, yeah. So you want to make sure that you don't put too much food in your mouth, right? So it's not taking you forever to chew, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can sort of get through. The whole idea for a business meeting is to have conversation. And so food is the sort of secondary thing. So small bites at a time. So the reason why I bring that up is to talk about talking with your mouth full of food, which is a big no-no. And, it's just a real turnoff to people.
Ooh. As is chewing with your mouth open, correct?
As is chewing with your mouth open, or like making smacking sounds. Any food, like that's my Seinfeld pet peeve. I'm just like, I can't do it. It's really hard when, you hear someone making noises with their food and slurping.
It's yucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's interesting is some clients will come because they recognize in those business meetings that they sort of don't have it together, or they're feeling a little, not confident in that area. And so, we'll sit down and go through some training on this.
For those listeners that are just tuning in, we are talking with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting, and we're talking about dining etiquette and what to do and not do at a business luncheon when you're eating out. And we need to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Susan Osborne. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And we are in studio with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. And we're learning all kinds of information about dining etiquette and what to do and what not to do when you're out at a business luncheon. And, a lot of the stuff we're kind of chatting about that just seems obvious to some people. And I'm just surprised that some people don't find this stuff normal. So it's kind of interesting.
I bet if you surveyed a lot of waiters and wait staff that they would be like, oh yeah, we've seen it all.
Funny.
Well, what about pushing my plate when I'm done? Is it proper to push it forward as if I'm kind of clearing it myself, or should I leave it there?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that that's okay to do, to signal that to the waitstaff that you're done, but it actually is not the proper thing to do. Most proper thing is to leave the plate right where it is and put your utensils where they need to be.
In the resting position.
In the finished position.
At 10:22 or whatever, depending on what time zone you're in.
And another thing that sort of signals when you're done, too, is
a belch?
Taking your belch.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. No, please.
You're getting her all discombobulated, Mike.
Sorry, Susan.
Is taking your napkin and putting it to the left side of your plate. That sort of
that I didn't that know. You're, I, that that's the done. First thing you've told me today. I didn't really realize. Yeah. Okay.
So, what do you do when you need to go use the restroom in the middle of dinner?
All right. This is what I would do. I would take the napkin, and I suppose I'm not sure exactly where to put it. Somewhere on the table near my plate, and say, "Excuse me, I'll be right back." Is that anywhere close?
Carol?
Well, I read it, so
okay.
I did read it, and I didn't do this. I usually will put it probably like to the left of my plate.
Oh, okay, great. Know? So the takeaway for both of you then, you're going to put the napkin on the chair that you're sitting at. Yes.
On the back part or where you're seated?
Where you're seated.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where it goes.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah. You don't need to fold it or anything. Just
right.
place it there. That
I usually
signals...
make mine into a swan when I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
Right. Okay. And then do you say something? You just get up and don't say anything?
Yeah. You can say, excuse me.
Excuse me.
You can tell people, I suppose, where you're mm-hmm. going or not. You can just say, excuse me. Yeah. But you put the napkin on the chair.
Okay.
And then the napkin stays on your lap pretty much the entire time from when you arrive to mm-hmm. when you leave. And some people will keep the napkin on their lap even after, like, their plate is taken away. If they're having coffee, your napkin will stay on your lap. And then when you're done, you're going to take the napkin and put it sort of to the left side. So some people also ask a lot about, I'm a little bit confused about what glasses are mine, which bread plate is mine, my wine glasses, my water, which coffee mug is mine.
Because some tables are set so tightly, mm-hmm. it really is confusing.
Mm-hmm. At the Make-A-Wish breakfast the other morning, I was getting a little confused.
Yeah.
So.
What'd you do? Wait for someone else to start it?
She went to your website and got the answer, so it's all good.
Okay, so here's the reminder. Is all of the stemware, so all of the glasses, the wine glasses, the water glasses, everything is going to be it's above the knife. So it's on the right side of
yours
you.
Is on above
yours
the right.
Yours is on the right.
Above the knife.
Above the knife.
Oh, including
that's
the coffee cup and everything?
Mm-hmm. The coffee cup is usually to the like the right side of the knife.
Okay.
So it's not like up further.
Got
it's kind of next to you. But the coffee cup will be on mm-hmm. your right. The butter plate or serving plate will be on above the top part of the
fork.
The left. The fork. Right. That's where the butter plate, the bread plate is.
People are going to ask, I got like 12 forks. What do I do?
Yeah. So work your way in. So it sort of depends on the restaurant that you're at too. Usually on the outer, it will be the small fork and then the larger fork, right? Because most Americans will have their salad beforehand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you start on the outside. And then you work your way in. In other restaurants, very fine dining restaurants, it may be the opposite. So you may see the smaller fork closer to the plate.
That's the one to grab case?
And if your salad comes, if you get a salad and your salad come first, you want to grab the smaller fork. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you just want to work your way in. If you ever see a fork and a spoon above the plate, the top part mm-hmm. of the plate running sort of parallel.
Yes.
Those are your dessert forks and spoons. So you just leave those there until dessert comes.
When you're setting the table at home and you're putting the knife on the right-hand side, the cutting edge goes toward the plate, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making
sure.
Very
good. Yeah. Yeah. And did you know when you're drinking when you're drinking red wine, to keep it warm, you hold it by the glass part. Mm-hmm. And when you're drinking white wine, you hold it by the stem so that your hand doesn't warm the wine.
Even though there's about an 8-degree difference, if even that, right? I just hold it by the stem no matter which.
Yeah, holding it by the stem is very appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm. So, you know, sometimes with clients, we go through just sort of like the weird kind of foods to avoid or what to do with that. Spaghetti always comes up unless you have mastered, you know, twirling the spaghetti with the fork and getting
into a spoon.
So
right?
Nothing is dangling off that fork. Then go ahead and feel free to order spaghetti. But if you don't have it mastered, that's something that you might want to avoid, particularly if you're concerned about getting.
And no pizza?
Any. Well, that, you know what that is? That has to do with eating with your hands, right? So you really have to assess kind of the environment, what are other people doing before you start deciding whether you're going to order something that you would traditionally eat with your hands. if it's a business meeting at a fancy restaurant, right. I would not.
They probably don't have pizza.
And they probably don't have pizza. That's right. And the same thing with the French fries. You know, if they come with, I would recommend actually using a fork. Okay. Yeah.
What about ketchup? Is that acceptable to dip the?
Yes.
Okay. As long as you're using a fork. Okay.
Yes, it is. things like bacon, you're going to eat with your hands, of course. Appetizers, typically you eat with your hands, and that's absolutely appropriate in a business setting to do that. Things like olives and pickles and nuts and stuff like that, that's fine. It's funny, asparagus. Have you guys ever heard this?
I never knew that.
It comes up once in a while because apparently some people eat their asparagus
with their hands.
With their hands.
I've not seen that.
Me neither. Huh. It says if there's no sauce on it, it's okay to eat it with your fingers, which is strange.
I'm going to pass on that.
I know.
Right.
Yeah. When in doubt, you know.
Use the utensil. Sure.
Always better. And you leave a better impression when you're using your utensil.
We never got into chopsticks or tipping today, which I wanted to do.
Oh, but one other thing is like the phones and the keys and the wallets, none of that should be on the table.
You lose brownie points for that.
Yeah.
See, and I would love to have this discussion sometime in a like a dating sense. This was very businesslike, and I think some of the rules...
They apply for dating.
They apply the same, because actual dating is a business.
Yeah.
I think we're done, Carol.
I think we are.
I don't want to be rude and cut this business meeting short, but thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Interesting as usual, and it's the end of Food for Thought for today, and up next is Kale and Company, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.